poor, foolish king's desire. He remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal that dances according to the order of its master. Well, you can say after me,
In this way,
King Paranjana was captivated by his nice wife.
And was thus cheated.
Indeed, he became cheated.
In
his whole existence in the material world.
Even against that poor foolish king's desire.
He remained under the control of his wife.
Just like a pet animal that dances.
According to the order of its master. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word vipralabdha is very significant in this verse. Vi means specifically, and pralabdha means obtained. Just to satisfy his desires, the king got the queen, and thus he became cheated by material existence. Although he was not willing to do so, he remained a pet animal under the control of material intelligence. Just as a pet monkey dances according to the desires of its master, the king danced according to the desires of the queen. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 it is said, Mahatsevam dwaramahur vimukte. If one associates with a saintly person, a devotee, one's path of liberation becomes clear. But if one associates with a woman or with a person who is too much addicted to a woman, his path of bondage becomes completely clear. On the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. That is what is meant by the order of sannyas, the renounced order. Before taking sannyas or completely renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. Sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same. But through illicit sex, one becomes more and more captivated. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. How one becomes captivated by the association of one's dear wife is explained in this chapter by Narada Muni. Attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. One who is attracted by the material qualities of darkness is in the lowest stage of life, whereas one who is attracted by the material quality of goodness is in a better position. Sometimes we see that when a person is on the platform of material goodness, he is attracted more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. This is, of course, a better position. For knowledge gives one the preference to accept devotional service. Unless one comes to the platform of knowledge, the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one cannot advance in devotional service, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kanchati. Samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. The platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a means by which one may come to the stage of devotional service. However, if one takes the devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-7, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanacha Yadarhaitukam. Devotional service automatically reveals actual knowledge of our material existence. One who is sufficiently intelligent immediately attains the stage of renunciation of so-called society, family, and love, as well as other things. As long as we are attached to society, family, and love of the material world, there is no question of knowledge, nor is there a question of devotional service. By directly taking to devotional service, however, one becomes filled with knowledge and renunciation. In that way, one's life becomes successful. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descriptions of the Characteristics of King Puranjana. So in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining what it means that King Puranjana, having specifically obtained the Mahishya, the queen, being captivated by the queen, who represents material intelligence, he became cheated in his material existence. So much so that even against his will, he was like a puppet or a play dog, trained dog or trained monkey in her hands. Cheating means that he becomes deprived of knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service. Thus his life, for all practical purposes, is a waste. He's wasted his life. He's lost his opportunity to make anything out of himself, and instead has been reduced to the status of a lap dog, like a pampered little poodle. And this is what has happened to him. So Prabhupada is saying here, he's talking about the path to liberation. There's two things. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte. The association of the Mahat, the saintly person, that is the door to liberation. Consequently, the door to bondage, conversely, is the association of worldly persons. It says here, associates with a woman. That means association with a woman here, it says, means attraction for the material qualities. For most men, they do not associate with a woman for the purposes of higher spiritual life. They associate with women for the purposes of sex indulgence. Similarly, and conversely, it applies, this is described from man's point of view. If one is a woman, then the problem is association with a man with the same end in view, that is to say, sexual enjoyment. So the path of bondage, if one associates with a woman or a person who is too much addicted to a woman, his path of bondage becomes completely clear. So the association with people for the purposes of sex life, or with those people who are into that sort of thing, this means bondage. So therefore, he says, Prabhupada says, on the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. There it is in black and white. That is what is meant by the order of sannyas, the renounced order. That's what that's all about. Before taking sannyas or completely renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. So there's two kinds of sex. There's licit and illicit. And Prabhupada says practically the same. In other words, but he said by regulation, the ultimate goal is if one wants to become free from this material world, there cannot be any attachment to sex life. Even if one is engaged in licit sex life, is there an attachment to sex life? One is in the state of bondage. That's what he means here. That means to say licit or illicit, it is practically the same. That is to say, if even one is having sex life licitly, that is according to all regulative principles, if the attachment is still there, then you're attached. But the point is that even if one is attached, if in that platform of attachment there's a regulation, the sex life is undertaken according to Vedic regulation, then you can become free. And by regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. It is, of course, also possible that one can be engaged in sex life and not even be attached to it. I can't personally imagine that platform, but it's possible. Great devotees can do like that, but anyway, that is there. But here the point is that he says sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same, but through illicit sex one becomes more and more captivated, whereas if it's licit, then one gradually becomes more and more renounced. But the point is that the ultimate goal is that attachment to sex life or attachment to the opposite sex as sex objects has to be gone in order for there to be knowledge developed, renunciation, liberation. So that's the thing. This sex is the biggest, it's the binding knot that keep people stuck in the material existence. This so-called happiness. And so this is what he says here. How one becomes captivated by the association of one's dear wife is explained in this chapter by Narada Muni. Attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. Now they say that. They say, men, when they're embarked on the course of seduction, they always say things like, actually, I don't want you for your body or something. I want you for your, you know, higher qualities. But they don't mean that. Everybody knows this. And so here it says attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness is in the lowest stage of life. So this is describing, again, Prabhupada is still describing the path of bondage. So the path of bondage is being attracted by material qualities. The material qualities come in three kinds. Material nature has three sorts of packaging for you. In the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. So people become attracted according to the situation they're in. They become attracted by features of the material world. So there are some who are attracted to the material quality of darkness. I have known people whose idea of a great weekend, for example, having worked all week, is to sleep. They would buy pills, and they would go to bed Friday night and wake up Sunday evening and have had a great weekend. That's attraction for the material quality of darkness, ignorance, lazy sleep. Intoxication, people who are attracted to intoxication of various kinds, all the forms of intoxication which one deliberately confuses one's mind. That means that one is attracted to the material quality of darkness. So if that's there, then knowledge, and renunciation, liberation doesn't develop. Typically, people who are attracted in the mode of darkness are poor because they tend to be lazy. People in the mode of passion are enterprising. They're attracted to money, women, display of opulences, achievement, and so on. It matters to them what their reputation is. So they'll do things to secure a good material reputation, where those with the mode of ignorance, they don't care. That's typical mode of ignorance utterance. Who gives a damn, or whatever the local equivalent of it is? You know, why bother? Who cares? What difference does it make? These are typical utterances of people in the mode of ignorance. People in the mode of passion, their typical utterances are the things that attract them are the idea of getting a lot of money quickly, get rich quick, and they tend to be, you know, hustlers going after things. And of course, especially the attraction of there is development and expansion of sex life. It's interesting that people who really get into the mode of ignorance through intoxication, pretty soon they don't have any sex life anymore. Because it's not even the mode of passion. But in the mode of passion, this very sex life is very, very important. So people become attracted to these different enterprises according to how they go. And it's all described very analytically for us in the Bhagavad Gita. We can see exactly what is the mode of ignorance, exactly what is the mode of passion, how a mode of passion is born out of uncontrollable hankerings and longings and desires. Mode of ignorance, laziness, inertia, sleep, and ends in madness. Whereas the mode of passion, well, conditions us, we end up in misery. So similarly, Prabhupada describes here, sometimes we see that when a person on the platform of material goodness, he is attracted more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. This is the symptom of the mode of material goodness. One becomes interested in knowledge. So there are people like this. They tend to be, at this point, fairly rare. As I've seen in my own lifetime, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance increase in human society, and the mode of goodness decrease. This is just a social phenomena. And what were the usages and habits you know, like I saw in the 60s, what was generally the habit of only one lower class section of society, that is the excessive use of different kinds of drugs, became a middle class habit. And so that means people were coming more and more into it. Of course, the people are fighting against it because it's a fact that if you get workers who are on drugs, they don't make money. So that's a problem. Yeah. So the middle class gets very upset because the mode of ignorance interferes with the mode of passion. But you can see the encroachment is there. The encroachment is there. I mean, the whole generation gap of, you know, the kids saying, why bother? And the father saying, get a job. What are you going to do? Is it a conflict between the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion? This is seen through the eyes of Shastra like that. But any attraction to any of these material qualities, to become conditioned to these things, is to block the path of liberation. So one has to become attracted. So here Prabhupada is analyzing the different ways. So if the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance is there, there's no chance of spiritual life. If the mode of goodness is there, then he says there is a better position. Because one may become interested in the cultivation of knowledge, and from that may become interested in give some preference to devotional service. So that happens. So one may, well, sometimes try to advance to this platform of knowledge in the mode of goodness. So he says, the platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a means by which one may come to the stage of devotional service. So a person who's really situated in the mode of goodness will gradually become his knowledge will rise to the level of impersonal Brahman. He'll become attracted to that and thus may be interested gradually in developing Krishna consciousness. It's a slow, gradual process, but it's there. Yeah, so that's the preferred mode of material nature. And such people, they become regulated and abstemious in their habits and so on. They're not attracted by the modes of passion and ignorance. That will be seen. It's very, very hard in this climate because the modes are there and they're fighting each other. For someone who is actually leaning toward the mode of goodness to actually cultivate it, and their knowledge gets stolen away from them because they don't. There's there's the association there for restraint of sense gratification is not available. So therefore, Prabhupada says here, if one takes to devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. So that's the other way. One can be situated in one of these, in the mode of goodness, and knowledge may gradually develop. Knowledge here means specifically the platform of knowledge, knowledge that I am not this body. Knowledge of my position as a spiritual being in relationship to matter, and thus realizing that my well-being and my existence, my future, does not lie in the material world. That's what's meant. Prabhupada explains this. Let me just flip over to here. In Divinity and Divine Service, a little later on in the verse that was quoted here. Prabhupada explains what this has meant. I can't find it exactly here, but this is what is meant by knowledge. Okay. Okay, here it is. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly of the personality of Godhead. It talks about with the attainment of bhakti yoga, there's bhagavatattva vijnana, further or more advanced knowledge other than just jnana or knowledge, right? Perfection of human life is attained when one understands that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. That's here called the perfect stage. That's knowledge. As soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This is knowledge. The attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance. Or, in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. A brahmana is the symbol of sattva-guna, or the mode of goodness. So that's what it means to be on the platform of goodness. One becomes a brahmana. And that means understands that he has nothing to do with matter. Sattva-guna. Now there's a further development into the transcendental position. And others who are not in the mode of goodness are either kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, or less than the shudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one is at least qualifies as a brahmana. The devotee is already a brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnava in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul in this transcendental, even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge, vijnana, of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage in order to understand the personality of Godhead Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual lines. That's where this comes from, this notion of postgraduate. Graduate means you're already liberated from material conditioning. You already know, fully understand that you are not this body, that you are a spirit. You've ceased your identification with matter and you've ceased all material hankerings. Now you're ready for the postgraduate study, the higher study of the personality of Godhead, which begins at this stage, begins, in fact. One cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. When a qualified brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava, in the enlivened stage of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada's point here in this verse is that you can come directly without going up to the brahminical platform of the rising to the modes of goodness and then trying to develop knowledge and then at the top of the thing or become a devotee. That's what you can take in any stage, you can take directly to devotional service. In any stage of life, immediately there's immediate access to the practice of devotional service. And when that is there, automatically, knowledge becomes revealed, as the verse quoted. Vairagya and knowledge causes attachment arise in the heart as a consequence of performing devotional service to Krishna. So by either way, in either case though, the sign of advancement is that sex life goes away. This King Paranjana as therefore, because this is not happening, and a consequence, he's become the prisoner, the slave of sex. He's been cheated of his whole life. He will not develop knowledge as long as he's in that condition of being attracted to sex or being that, because there it is. That's the mode of passion. When the mode of passion is present, there is no development of knowledge either for liberation or for devotional service. But the mode of passion is difficult to get rid of, and therefore it's saying, take directly to devotional service, and the power of devotional service is such that it destroys the lower modes of nature. That's said earlier in this verse, he says, by regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable, that's the way that word is pronounced, by the way, not irrevocable, but irrevocable. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. And that sattva, here in the word for word, it says mode of goodness, Also the original from this is added from, says mode of goodness. So he says, Prabhupada says here, the soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such the diseased activities are expressed in the form of, these are the diseased activities of the soul, nice phrase, huh? Diseased activities of the soul are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankerings, passion, right? Lust, desirings, hankerings, and inactivity, foolishness, and sleep, ignorance. Right? So activities in the mode of passion and ignorance are diseased activities of the soul. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by the complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva or shuddha sattva. Only in the shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. So we have to see this happen, that the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion go away. They should be in the process of being dissolved by the performance of devotional service. It happens either fast or slow depending on our perseverance. And of course the depth of the crud we have to cleanse off also. You can work very hard. It may take you a little while because there's a lot of junk from previous activities that has to be cleared away. But anyway, the effect must be there for that perfection to be there. So we should not find ourselves in the position of the poor king. Now, he is a person who's now completely captivated by his queen, his material intelligence, and is thus rooting around like a hog in sense gratification. And even now, he's so far gone that he knows better, but he can't help himself. So therefore, it says here, cheated. He's cheated. Any questions or comments? Yes.